to operate as a whole. The parts are different for a purpose, and in their differences, they've got to work together.
Come the fountain, every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace.
Thanks for joining us at the Hope of Our Calling. Let's get started in our study of Ephesians.
Today we're going to be studying Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, through Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9. Last week we were blessed to study about making music or sacred odes between one another, which stems from hiding His word in our heart, which naturally produces joy and excitement about the kingdom to come. But today we come across Paul's writing about submission. Unfortunately, submission has gotten a bad connection to it. But I hope today that I'll be able to show you how what Paul writes about submission is actually a lesson on unity and servanthood, as well as order and responsibility. So let's dive right in. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men-pleaser, but as servants to Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. There's a lot contained in these scriptures, but the biggest theme that I'm seeing is that it all boils down to relationships. And throughout Paul's writing, we have learned from Paul that it's important that we understand how we are to have relationships with one another in the body of Christ. We've been looking at loving each other with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering. And here, we looked at the practical applications in the family setting. Henry Morris, the author of Evidence of Creation, writes that Ephesians 5:22 through 6:9 presents a basic primer on human relationships in dynamics that impact most of our lives, our families, and our places of employment. Our relationships are to be carried out by submitting ourselves to one another in the fear of God. That key phrase, submitting ourselves, means to arrange in order. In the home, the submission or the order or arrangement is compared to the Lord's house, the church, and wives are to be arranged under the husband, with the emphasis being on authority, just as the church is under the authority of Jesus Christ. And then it says that husbands are to be under the responsibility of love, the emphasis being on sacrifice, just as Christ gave his life on behalf of and for the benefit of the church. Children are to be under the order of correct behavior, with the emphasis being on obedience, just as the fifth commandment requires, which is further protection and promotion of well-being and longevity. And in the workplace, those who serve are to serve as if they were serving the Lord, not men. Those who lead and own are to relate to their servants as though they were serving the servants, recognizing that the one master is over all. So Henry Morris talks about our arrangements. The emphasis is on authority and on sacrifice and on obedience, and also being the servant of all. Pastor Chuck Smith wrote, "If we try to defy God's order, we invite unhappiness into all of our relations." In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, we read, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." This is in reference to Jesus when he was a boy. His mom and dad had taken him up to celebrate one of the feasts in Jerusalem, and when they were returning to Nazareth, they discovered he wasn't there. When they went back, they had to go all the way back to Jerusalem, where they discovered him in the temple, basically having a dialogue with the Jewish scholars in the temple. And everybody was amazed at his level of knowledge. And when they asked him why would he do that to them, his reply to them was, "Why wouldn't you have expected me to be about my father's business?" But even after making that statement, we see in this passage in Luke that he was subject unto them. He went down with them to come to Nazareth and was subject to them, meaning that he submitted himself to them. Now, submission doesn't imply a doormat. It doesn't imply a slave or something that's broken or less than. To the contrary, it implies servanthood. And isn't that the great example that our Lord and Savior gave us? In Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 and 28, Jesus himself says, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." So if we look back at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it says to submit one to another in the fear of the Lord. Now again, that fear does not reference being terrified, but rather being in awe of God. After all, he is God. He created us. We did not create him. That in itself demands honor and respect and reverence. So this very God that we reverence came to earth and served us to the ultimate service of his life. In John chapter 13, it says in verse 14 and 15, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you." And then further on in that same chapter in John 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The earthly perspective of submission is selfish and controlling, and we see that all around us. The world is filled with arrogance and pride and even brutal suppression. This is the manifestation of the lustful human soul. We can even see it within the religious world. Why was Jesus killed? Because they couldn't control him as well as they hated the conviction that his words caused to their prideful heart. Any religion that exercises a controlling manner over its followers is not in itself a follower of Christ. For Jesus never forced anyone. He simply served them. He healed them. He restored them. He even raised them from the dead. He fed them. And then he paid the ultimate cost for our sin, for the ultimate thing we're liable for, the payment for our sin, which is death. He took upon himself. He is the ultimate servant. And he said, he's our example. Jesus said, all who are thirsty, come. All who are weary, come. All who are sick, come. He said in Matthew 11, chapter 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our Lord and Savior desires to show us the right way, to show us in serving one another, in esteeming each other higher, that we would be acting contrary to the things of the world. If you notice, the world suppresses one another, steps on one another to elevate itself. But in Christ, it's just the opposite. When we come underneath one another and we serve one another, we land up lifting one another up, quite the contrary to the ways of the world. But here's another thing I want to share with you. In all of this, in this passage on submission and servanthood, there's something else that's happening here. Unity. Throughout Ephesians, Paul has been talking to us about who we are individually, but then also who we are collectively, that we're a building, that we're a temple, fitly fitted together, that we're the bride. And in studying this passage on submission, if we look at it as if we are serving one another in the fear of the Lord, if we are loving one another because we love the Lord, what we must take notice of is that God is a God of order. God has established an order. We can actually see God's order within the universe. We talked about that last week. The heavens declare his glory. When you look at the human body, if you talk to a molecular biologist, they will all tell you there is order in God's creation. And we can see that in this lineage of submission, that there is an order. Take notice throughout this passage that we've been reading of the love and honor that is portrayed within these scriptures, starting off with verse 21. Submit one to another in the fear of the Lord. Christ is our example. He left heaven to clothe himself in humanity, and through the greatest of love, sacrificed all to purchase and redeem us from our sin. He loves us and loved us before we were even created with an unconditional love. The Lord wants us to love and cherish one another as he loves and cherishes us. Paul writes in Philippians 2, verses 2 and 3, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. It's all about love. Our Lord and Savior is teaching us love, even in this word submission, even in the order and the unity that he has constructed. He is teaching us how to love. Ask any servant or any child or any wife how difficult it is to die to self, to fall in line with the order God has designated for submission. But don't stop there, because the husbands, the godly high priests of the family, are equally submissive as unto the Lord. They're accountable to the Lord. So what's the Lord trying to teach us? Didn't he come and submit himself to death for us? He's trying to teach us that divine heavenly love is sacrificial. It is not self-seeking. Previously, we studied with Paul the things that we need to be putting off so that we may put on his holiness and righteousness. Part of putting off is putting off our selfish desires to put on his self-sacrificing. Take notice of that. Seek within yourself those things that are hindering you from sacrificially loving others, serving one another as the Lord served you, served me. And then ask for the Lord's help to put those things off, that you might, that we might learn this lesson of submission. And keep in mind that we honor him when we submit to his work in and through us. No less than 12 times within this book of Ephesians, Paul writes about the unity of Christ. He compares the body of Christ to a human body, where each part has a specific function that is necessary for the body to operate as a whole. The parts are different for a purpose, and in their differences, they've got to work together. The Life Application Study Bible says that unity doesn't just happen. We have to work at it. Often differences among people can lead to division, and this should not be true in Christ's church, Christ's body. Instead of concentrating on what divides us, we should remember what unifies us, that we are one body with one spirit, with one future, with one Lord, through one faith and one baptism for one God. Have you learned to appreciate the differences within the body of Christ? Can you see the different giftings that each of us have and how they might apply within the body of Christ? Paul's been writing about unity throughout the entire book of Ephesians. In chapter 1, verse 10, it says that Christ would gather together in one all things in Christ which are in heaven and earth. In chapter 2, verse 6, it says he's raised us up together to sit together in heavenly places. And in verse 2, verse 15, he says to make in himself from the two one new man. In chapter 4, verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He goes on to say in verse 16 of chapter 4, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted or united by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part. And I love the version from the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, under his control, the whole body is being fitted and held together by the support of every joint, with each part working to fulfill its function. This is how the body grows and builds itself up in love. 1 Corinthians talks about that we are one body, many members, but one body. But that one body, the cohesiveness that holds us together, is our love for one another, our sacrificial love for one another, our submission unto one another, are esteeming each other better, submitting ourselves one to another through his love. How this body is going to look in heaven, I don't know. But I know that it is utmost on his mind that his bride be making herself ready for his coming. Let's do our best to submit to one another, to love one another unconditionally, to seek how their giftings will operate in the body, to stop dwelling on the differences None of us are alike. Each of us have our place within the body. One of us may be the fingertip, or the big toe, or the, as one pastor, youth pastor used to say, he's the nose hair because he filters out the dirt from the body. It's quite a funny analogy, but it makes a vivid point. We each have a place within the body of Christ. Let's love one another, because if we don't nourish and cherish our bodies, or nourish and cherish the body, we're not making ourselves ready for our groom. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul wrote, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing with one another in love." In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and gives grace to the humble." Jesus is our example, as he demonstrated submission not only to his earthly parents, but also to the cross. So too must we, as he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. So too should we. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. We should follow in his steps." Let's all seek to do that, to submit to one another, to love one another, to encourage one another, to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we were called. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it said, "Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Seek his heart. Seek his heart in loving others, that we might not be ashamed when he calls, not be ashamed when he comes, but that we could stand before him knowing we did our uttermost to love others in the body as he demonstrated and loved us. In chapter 1, verse 6 of Ephesians, it reads, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved." We've studied in Ephesians how at the fulfillment of time, the hosts in the heavenlies and the hosts on earth will look at this thing that he has done within humanity, the creation of the one new man, and they will marvel that we should be to the praise of his glory because we trust him. The question today is, will I trust him and submit to his glorious plan above all things? Will I surrender to the truth that his ways are higher than mine? And will I die to myself and listen and obey? Will I seek to give him the glory in all things? Will I be ready as the bride prepared when he comes? Have a blessed week and join us again next week for the Hope of Our Calling.
For more information on Hope of Our Calling, go to agapechapeloc.org /Kendra, or by email at KendraMartinMinistries@gmail.com.